I wonder what kind of person you are when it comes to getting ready to go on a road trip or a day out. Are you someone that likes to think ahead? Are you like my mum? Do you plan out the food for what it's going to happen? Do you wait and see what you'll find when you get there? Or are you a picnic preparation kind of person? Do you plan out on the roadmap where you might stop? Are you a details person? Or are you a little bit spontaneous? Are you a planner? Or do you leave things to chance? Now, in our reading this morning, we see that the day has run on. Jesus has been teaching and it's almost dark. People are hungry and there are very few options available. There's no KFC, there's no McDonald's in sight, and there's thousands of people who seemingly haven't come prepared for a day out. There's a physical need, but there's also Jesus. There's a lunchbox, and there's a lesson for all of us to learn about what it means to follow a saviour who is not limited by resources or tricky situations. A saviour who provides for the physical hunger, but who also declares himself to not only be the best chef available, but also the very bread itself. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the miracles of Jesus. We're going to see afresh who our Saviour is, what he asks of us who seek to follow him, and ponder together what God might want to say to us in these strange and unsettling times. In these days and weeks where we feel anxious, where we're unsure of what the future holds, we're coming back again to Scripture, trusting again that God wants to speak to us through it. That we're not just going to retell and hear nice stories, but we're going again to share in the living, breathing Word of God, finding truth and hope in a world of uncertainty, seeing again that God, who was and is to come, still longs to speak to us through his Word, that we might be challenged and encouraged afresh as we seek to navigate this world. Now, some of the stories we are going to look at are going to be very familiar to us. They're probably even some of our favourites. But let's not fall into the trap of dismissing these stories from Scripture as just for Sunday school, or to become too familiar with them that we miss the whisper of God and what he wants to say to all of us, young and old, together. Let's choose to lean in. Dare to trust that God wants to speak to our hearts and our minds and our souls today. What might God want to bring our attention to? Perhaps we know the story so well, but what detail might we see for the first time? We turn this morning to the feeding of the 5,000. Interestingly, the only one of Jesus' miracles that feature in all four Gospels. That in itself should stop us in our tracks. What makes this story so important? What essential truths about Jesus does it reveal that all four gospel writers thought it was important to comment on this story? Let's jump into it together. Here, I was really struck this week as I was preparing that the feeding of the 5,000 starts not in a crowd, but with Jesus in a place of solitude. He's withdrawn by himself to a desolate place. He's heard sad news. At this time, so many of us are withdrawn, not by choice, but by regulations, physically distanced and separated. But for Jesus, times of solitude weren't times that were wasted. Instead, Jesus chose to withdraw by himself to spend time with the Father. Each time he withdraws, he comes back more secure in his identity, in his purpose, ready for what God has called him to do. How might we view our times of separation as Jesus might have? Are we thoroughly fed up with isolation, or are we like Jesus, feeding on the Word? Are we spending time with our Father? Are we growing in our faith? Or are we just more and more frustrated? Are we in a mindset where we're missing out due to the buildings being closed? Or are we allowing God to meet us in new ways, in new spaces, in our homes at this time. The building is shut, yes, but God is alive and at work in us today. Do we choose each day to set time aside with our Heavenly Father? Or are we more devoted to Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney Plus, if that's more your preferences? How might we make the most of this time, where we can spend time with our Heavenly Father, who longs to meet with us, to remind us afresh of who we are, to grow us in our purposes and our calling, that we might live out more fully his call upon our lives? The story starts with Jesus withdrawn to a quiet place by boat. But when crowds hear he is near, they come looking for him. Jesus arrives back at the beach and there's a large crowd waiting for him. How does Jesus respond? He's not frustrated at the changing of his plan, but instead we're told he's filled once more with compassion. He's moved by the crowd. He heals the sick among them. Miracles happen. I find it quite interesting. Matthew just notes the healing of the sick as if it's a passing comment. Wherever Jesus is, signs of the kingdom break in. The sick are healed. Lives are transformed. Time passes and it's soon evening and there's a problem. The disciples come to Jesus. They're in the middle of nowhere. The disciples come to Jesus. They say to Jesus, Jesus, you need to send this crowd away in order that they can go to neighbouring villages for food. Jesus, though, has a different idea. Perhaps you could imagine maybe a cheeky smile, a glint in his eye. He says to the disciples, you feed them. You give them something to eat. Now, this isn't just a few households needing a socially distanced barbecue, which would have been enough of a logistics nightmare because they don't have a barbecue or anything to put on it. No, there's thousands and thousands of people. What did Jesus expect the disciples to do? We know from the other gospel accounts of the story that the disciples go looking for supplies in the crowd. Who has food with them? What lunch boxes can be shared? And we're told that there's a young boy who's the only one whose mum had sent him out with a lunchbox. Only one boy has come prepared, or perhaps hasn't yet eaten his sandwiches. What does he have left? 5 loaves and 2 fish. What use is that in a crowd of thousands? But yet the disciples come back with his lunchbox. Jesus takes its contents in his hands. He gets the crowd to get comfy on their picnic blankets. And looking up, Jesus takes the smallest of lunches, looks heavenward, prays for the food, and begins to break the bread and pass it out. We are told the disciples give out the food and all are satisfied. They don't just get a small bite. It's not half a fish finger each or a little square of a sandwich. No, all are satisfied. The food keeps coming and all are full. This is the best kind of all-you-can-eat buffet. Everybody is satisfied. There's so much food left over. The disciples go out. They collect up the spares. There's 12 basketfuls left. There's more at the end than what there was at the start. But yet 5,000 men plus women and children are full and the lunchbox has been replaced by a whole table full of baskets overflowing with food. The second reading from John's Gospel picks up the story the next day as the crowd come looking for Jesus again. They're hungry. They want more of these sandwiches. They want more from Jesus. But Jesus is quick to question whether their hearts are in the right place. Are they looking for the right thing? Have they become fixated on their physical hunger and missed the point of what happened? Did they enjoy a tasty dinner and miss out on seeing the one who had provided for their needs of the abundant overflow of the food? Jesus tells them not to work for the food that perishes, but to seek the food that brings eternal life. God, their Father, provided manna for their ancestors in the desert, also provided from heaven the bread they ate in the wilderness the day before. The same God who fed his people in Exodus, who fed the 5,000 in our gospel reading, is the same God who promises to provide for our physical hunger and our spiritual hunger today. We pray that each day, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. That's our prayer. Are we trusting in God to provide for our needs? Do we feed on the daily bread God offers to us? Or do our Bibles go unread and unopened day by day as we put our physical needs above our spiritual needs and miss the point on why we often feel so completely unsatisfied by our day-to-day diet of chasing after the way of the world? See, Jesus' anger to our hungers and to the request from the crowd is the same. When the crowd want more bread, Jesus utters his first I am statement. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life, the one who satisfies your hunger, not just your physical need, but the one who comes to provide and satisfy to our deepest needs, the answer to our questions, the light to the darkness of the world, the peace to our anxiety and uncertain times. Jesus, not just a miracle worker, the provider of emergency lunchboxes, but also the very source of every need we have. What might God want to remind us of today? What is your hunger for today? What circumstances in life have caught you out? What have you been left seemingly unprepared for? Where has the ready meal not quite cut it? Where have your best made plans not worked out? Where are you in need today? Where are you searching for bread or answers or hope today? What has the world promised and not delivered on? We've joked about it before, but what are you hungry for? What's making you thirsty? When you're hungry, what do you turn to? Is it satisfying you, or is it just making you grow in hunger and anger at the world? When we don't eat, if you're anything like me, we get hangry. Our hunger leads to anger. Are you spiritually hangry today? Are you fed up with the world and questioning what to turn to next? Today, can I encourage you to come to the bread of life, the one who doesn't disappoint, the one who answers all your questions, who provides rest for the weary, with whom the supply never runs out, the one who provides for our daily bread, our daily peace, our daily hope, every day of our lives. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Do you know it to be true? Today, find what you seek in Jesus, our daily bread. Secondly, I wonder what you have to bring to Jesus today. You know, so often we overlook the resources in our hands. We question what purpose we have. How would God even use me anyway? In the face of a very real problem, in our gospel reading, there was no food. The disciples went looking for supplies, and what did they find? One tiny lunchbox, 5 loaves, 2 fish to feed a crowd of thousands. What use was that packed lunchbox to anyone? Now, maybe if we had been thinking positively as the disciples, we probably could have thought about stretching out one lunchbox to maybe 4 or 5 people. But the miracle wasn't bound by our optimistic thinking or clever plans, for it wasn't in our hands, the lunchbox, that the breadcrumbs became the banquet, but in Jesus's. In Jesus's hands, the lunchbox became the buffet. The tiny offering became the feast. What do you have to offer? What lunchbox of yours is a banquet Jesus wants to use to bless many others? What are you holding back, which in Jesus' hands becomes the miraculous? Where is your mustard seed faith ready to plant and grow a tree that points many people to Jesus, who is the one who provides for our needs? Where are your concerns about your limited offering stopping Jesus from blessing and using what he's given you to offer. So often we see a great need, we become overwhelmed by how big the problem is, how inadequate or limited we feel ourselves or our resources to be. Yet Jesus wants us today to be reminded that despite the size of the need, which is big, despite how little we think we have to offer, there's no end to the great resources God has made available to us. Despite how big we think the problem is, to the God we worship is so much bigger, so much more powerful, so much more able than we even dream to dare or imagine. You know, our great big problems are but marbles in the hands of our Almighty Father. Where do we need to look afresh and trust anew in the provision and love and power of our Heavenly King? Jesus takes the packed lunchbox and multiplies it over and over and over and over. There's so much more at the end than what there was at the start. 12 baskets left over, but it started from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Breadcrumbs become the banquet in Jesus' hands. What do you have to offer to him this morning? I wonder, thirdly, are you ready to join in though? You know, I've often wondered what went through the young boy's mind as the disciples looked for supplies. Was he tempted to keep quiet, keep his fish finger sandwich box back for himself? Why should he go hungry so that others could eat his sandwich? There wasn't much of it anyway, so why not keep it to himself? Maybe he should have thought that others should have come prepared. Why should he give up his lunch so others could eat? I wonder if we're honest this morning what we would have done. And yet this young boy gives up his lunchbox. He didn't know he was going to get any of it back, did he? And yet he chose to give the lunchbox to the disciples. An act of faith, an act of sacrifice, and yet one that led to an abundance. So the question again is, what are you holding back or keeping for yourself that Jesus has given you to share with others? Where has greed or fear stopped generosity in your heart? What resources are you keeping for yourself? What talents are you not sharing? What gifts have you been blessed with to bless others, and yet in tight-gripped hands are not reaching their full potential? See, this kid had a great lunchbox, but it was just enough for him. But when he gave it to Jesus, the lunchbox was actually a banquet. In the trusting of the lunchbox to Jesus, the miracle happened. See, Jesus didn't need the boy's lunchbox. I'm sure another solution could have been found. A different miracle could have happened. Jesus doesn't need us, but he invites us to join in with him. You know, I love the cheekiness of Jesus when he tells the disciples to feed the people. It was, humanly speaking, impossible. Yet Jesus invited the disciples to be part of the solution. Bring me what you can find. You know, Jesus is still the same today. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to join in with him, his saving plan for the world, to be more than we can be with him than without him, to take part in the transformation of all things. Do you want to join in today? Or are you happy on the sidelines? Would you rather have a fish finger sandwich on your own or eat at the all-you-can-eat buffet that Jesus provides? Why settle for rations when you can feast at the banquet table of the Lord? Join in today. What solutions has God put in your hands to bring his hope and truth and love to the world? Are you ready to share what God has blessed you with others? Or are you limiting what's in your hands by your lack of faith? Or perhaps by your own selfishness or concerns about what you will do if you were to give this away? Let's give back to Jesus that which he has given to us in order that he might bless and feed many, 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 many others too. So what are you looking for today? Find it in Jesus, the one who not only provides our daily bread, but is himself the living bread of life. What have you got to bring to him? Will you trust your lunchbox to him, no matter how small you feel your contribution is? Will you trust that in Jesus' hands, miracles happen? Are you ready to step out in faith to join in with Jesus' rescue plan for the world? In his hand, breadcrumbs become banquets. All eat and are satisfied. We are all invited not just to come to the table ourselves, but to hand out invitations to those we know that are hungry, that in Jesus, the bread of life, all who search can be found in Jesus. Are you in today? What have you got to bring? Who will you invite to taste and see that the Lord is good? Are you ready to step out in faith and share your lunchbox with Jesus today?